We are on Sadi Vava and Aleph, 96A. So we'll answer Mati's question at the outset. Someone will have to convey it to Mati. He asked the question yesterday regarding this beged that we're tearing, and we don't want to tear it the whole way through, right? We tear it only most of the way, and then we're going to this way it's still considered to be mechubar. So why don't I just tear it entirely, bring it into the Beis Hamikdash fully torn and therefore tahar, and then restitch it in the Mikdash and it won't regain its tumah. Rather than say I want to tear it only till there's still minimal baguette left. I think the answer is that you can't remove the title of the item. If you remove the title of the item, you're actively going against your kibbutz, mrika, shtifa, whatever it is that we're talking about. So that for each of them, the damage that we do, it cannot be damage that will entirely eliminate its name, even temporarily. Hence the small nekev in the kli cheres, hence even the larger nekev in the kli nechoshes. That's my understanding. I could see reasons to disagree with it, but that's my understanding. Okay, the Gemara continues the discussion about breaking the kli cheres in the azara, and creating the point about creating the tanur out of metal in order to avoid the need to have to break it, since now it's kosherable. We said the clay oven would not be kosherable. So Amar Abaye on Sadi Vav Med Aleph, the end of the third line, beginning of the fourth line, Amar Abaye v'chiosin ashpasos ba'azara. Abaye says, well, wait a minute, you're telling me, Mati, you just missed the answer we gave to your question. I'll have to catch you afterwards or someone will fill you in. Or you can listen to the audio. The statement that we made that we're going to break the kli cheres and the azara, Abaye says, are you allowed to create ashpasos in the azara, to create trash heaps in the azara? So a couple of points on this. First of all, Vayela Sashachar of Steinman says the reason why I would say you can't create an ashpa is mora hamikdash. We have a mitzvah of treating the base hamikdash with awe as mikdashi tirou, and creating a trash heap is not really a good, is not consistent with that. He also notes, though, that the Griz reread this Gemara, and it's an important reread. The Griz challenges that if this is a mitzvah, that if that's the mitzvah of break kli cheres in the azara, then it's not degrading for the azara. It's not called an ashpa any more than when we create a beis hadeshen, right? Or anything else that we do in the beis hamikdash. By definition, it's not degrading. So the Yalas HaShachar explains that's exactly what the Gemara is asking. The Gemara says it's really a challenge to the previous line. You said that we don't create kivshonos in Yerushalayim, right? And therefore, we're not able to kosher the kli, the clay kalim, right? That was your statement, because you can't create kivshonos. So that means that mitzvah doesn't justify creating a kivshon. So here too, mitzvah doesn't justify creating an ashpa in the azara. Be consistent. If mitzvah doesn't justify creating a kivshan, then mitzvah doesn't justify creating an ashpa. If one is mutter for the mitzvah, then so is the other. That's the way to read Abaye's question. To which the Gemara answers, Ishtamitzei hadatani shmaya bekalnevo shivrei kli cheres nivlon bimkoman. Abaye had forgotten that which Shmaya or Rav Shmaya taught in Kalnevo, which is that shivrei kli cheres, broken kli cheres, would actually be absorbed in its spot in the Beis HaMikdash. A couple of very interesting points that I just can't leave alone on this. First of all, Rashi points out Kalnevo from the Gemara in Sanhedrin. He says, Shem Makom Shnikra Shem Avodas Kochavim was a place that was identified for an idolatry. Kedersivat, the Pasuk in Yeshaya says, Karas Nivo. So it's actually a name for an Avodah Zarah. So the Magalias HaShas quotes the Chasim Sofer in Yuma with a very interesting point. He asks why we specify that that's where Shemaya said this halacha, that he said it in Kalava. Why do we go out of our way to tell us, you know, where Shemaya said it? And he answers that a kli cheres is as tame can get. That's why it can't be used for a kli shares. A kli cheres is not that it's considered to be an inferior kli, but it's considered to be possible in the sense of it being just inappropriate. It's fully tame, and yet once it absorbs part of a karban, then suddenly it can be absorbed in Admas Kodesh in the Beis HaMikdash. The fact that it absorbed part of the karban means it can be absorbed in Admas Kodesh in the Beis HaMikdash despite its inherent disqualification. So he says this supports the Gemara in Megillah that Torah will one day be taught in the base Avodah Zarah of Edom, in the place where Edom worshipped Avodah Zarah, because you can convert it over to Kedusha. And we highlight this by having Shmaya teach that very lesson in Kal Nevo, right? Kal Nevo is a place that had been known for Avodah Zarah. It's named for Avodah Zarah, and it becomes a place where Shmaya teaches Torah. Just like the Kli Cheres, which has the height of Tumah, being absorbed in the Beis HaMikdash. That's the idea. To which I would add, if Shmaya is really the original Shmaya, it amplifies the point, because Shmaya is a ger. He's coming from them, and he's coming to learn Torah. Interesting. The only problem that I have with this idea is that the Gemara in Yuma Daf Chafalef that talks about the pottery being absorbed in its spot in the Beis HaMikdash says that was a nes. And if it was a nes, it didn't happen in Bayis Sheni. So I don't know what you were doing in Bayis Sheni for the Kli Cheres. Nonetheless, okay. That's our answer. So the Gemara asks, Elohada Amar of Nachman Amar Rabba Baravua. Rav Nachman says, citing Rabba Baravua, Tanur Shal Mikdash Shal Mataches Hava. They made the tanur out of metal. And our assumption is you made the tanur out of metal for koshering reasons. Because if it was made out of clay, you wouldn't be able to kosher it. So he says, I don't understand. You told me yesterday that clay things can be koshered as long as you put the heat inside. Your heat source has to be inside it. I couldn't kosher certain kalim because they'll be heated from the outside. But it's an oven. Put the fire inside and let the fire heat it from the inside, and then it is kosherable. Nave decheres, make it a pottery. Deseko mi bifnimu. So that the heat will be from the inside. So his answer is, you're right. That's not why we make it out of clay. We make it out of metal. We make it out of metal because you can't use clay. Since you make the shtei halechem there, and you make the lechem aponim, shtei halechem for Shavuos, lechem aponim for every Shabbos, you bake it in that oven, and it gains its kedusha in that oven. And Rashi explains, "Shein nasin b'klisharis l'fishein tun and shemen." You don't make them in a klisharis, the normal vessels, because you put oil into those. Kedamin and perkshtei alechem lishasin varichasin b'chutz zafiyasin mibifnim. They would actually be kneaded and arranged outside, and then you bake them inside the tanur mekadeshlo. That the oven is going to give it the kedusha. So therefore, havalei klisharis. The Gemara says on the last line, that's a klisharis, it's a serving in. And you can't make a klisharis, as we just said, out of cheres, out of pottery. That's why the oven is metal. Vafilu Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, top of the next side, Loka Amar Ela de Eitz. Granted, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda disagreed. He said you don't have to make it out of metal. He says you can make it out of wood. That's a statement he makes regarding the Khalil in the Gemara in Sukkah, and discussing whether the Khalil overrides Shabbos. He says the Khalil is a klisharis. Nonetheless, that's only wood. He's expanding to wood. Abal the cheres lo. He's not saying you could make the oven out of cheres. He wouldn't let you make a klisharis out of cheres, and no one will ever say it's a good idea to make the tanur out of wood. So that basically leaves us with metal. So again, what we just did was we followed up on this issue of the fact that we're not going to kosher the pottery, we're going to break it in the azara instead. We said it was absorbed miraculously in its place, and we said as far as the oven, it's not made out of metal for koshering reasons, it's made out of metal because it's a klisharis. Okay, we're now on to the second line, tzadivav mebeiz, and we got a very interesting story. Rav Yitzchak bar Yehuda, avaragil tamei deroi bar chama. Rav Yitzchak bar Yehuda, or braid of Yehuda, was regularly in front of Rami Bar Chama, meaning to learn. He was a Talmud of Rami Bar Chama. Shavgei, but then he left him. Va'azil Rav Sheshes, and he went to learn by Rav Sheshes instead. Uh-oh. The Yomachad Pagabe, one day Rami Bar Chama runs into his former Talmud, Rav Yitzchak Bar Yehuda. Amar Lei, he says to him, Al Kafta Naktan, Recha Asi La Liad. He says, when you hold the hand of the ruler, Al Kapitan, so to speak, when you hold the hand of the ruler, does the smell, does the perfume go to his hand? Meaning, you think by associating with Rav Sheshes, you become like Rav Sheshes? You think it just rubs off on you? That's why you went to learn by Rav Sheshes. You think now you're going to be Rav Sheshes? Is that your idea? Whenever I read this, it always reminds me of the Rav Shiva and Karen B'Yavnes, that's all. He used to make jokes about all the chutznikim who learned in yeshiva went to shake his hand on Friday night. He said, after I shake everybody's hand on Friday night, my hands smell like perfume from all the weird soaps that these chutznikim use. So he says here, just the other way around, rubbing off from the Rosh Yeshiva, that your hand is going to smell like his. That's the comment he makes about Rav Sheshes. He says, Mishum da'azis loch l'kameh Rav Sheshes, ha'balach ki Rav Sheshes. You think you're going to be Rav Sheshes now. That's what you're... To, you aspire to that? So Amarle Lav Mishum Hachi. So Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yehuda says, if not, why I went in front of Rav Sheshes? Frankly, Rabbi, don't make fun of me. He says the reason I went is because he teaches me something remarkable. What does he do? Mar, my master, meaning Rabbi Barchama Kibaina Milsa Pashali Misvara. I ask you questions and you answer me with svara. You come up with brilliant analytics to answer me. But you know what happens? Later I learn a little more, I learn a brisa, and I realize that your svara doesn't work. Your svara doesn't bear out. We're about 10 lines down, Sadi Vavam Bebeis. Rav Sheshes, Kiboina Milsa Mine, Pashalimi Masnisa. Rav Sheshes, I ask him a question, he gives me a brisa that will answer me. Even if I find another brisa that disagrees with his brisa, ultimately in the end, it's my brisa versus his brisa, and his brisa therefore will stand. It's not like it'll just be rejected outright. It's a very interesting note that he's doing this regarding Rav Sheshes, right? Rav Sheshes and Rav Yosef are the two blind Amoraim. Right? And remember what Rabbi Yosef was known as. Rabbi Yosef was known as Sinai. In the Machlokes, in the end of Brachos, about whether it's better to be Sinai or Okar Harim, Rabbi Yosef is known as Sinai, the one who has this great breadth of learning and knows all the Mishnayos and Brisos. So too, apparently, Rav Sheshes is known that way. Rav Sheshes, the other blind Amora, is also known for his encyclopedic memory, which I guess he had to have. But it's interesting that that's how both of them are known. So that's his answer. So Amar Lai, so Amar Chama is a little insulted here. He says to him, "Be'imini milsa, the ifshalach kimas nisa." He says, "I can do the same thing. Ask me a question, and I will answer you like a brisa." As Rashi says, "Misvara ifshalach." I'll answer you from svara. I'm still going to use my method of logical analysis. However, v'chisedok b'mas nisa tashka kavasoi. You're going to examine this in a brisa, and you will find that the brisa supports me. So there. So Bamine. So he asks him a question, and now we get to the part that's relevant for us. Bisha b'miktsas kli ton rika ushtifo ein ton. His question is, and the Shita Mikubetz Osches embellishes it. The question that I have is this. Let's say I cook my carbon, and only part of the kli is over the fire. Only part of the kli is heated. So do I have to do rika and shtifa on the entire kli, or only on part of the kli? That's his question. Amar lei eino ton. He says it does not require mrika and shtifa of the entire kli, only part. Midi dahava ahaza'a. Just like haza'a. And what he's talking about with haza'a, as Rashi tells you, is dam chatas shnitas ala beged. When the blood of the chatas sprays on a beged. This nam b'masnis in ein ton kibus ala makom adam. Because we learned in the Mishnah that only the spot where the dam strikes requires kibus. So too, only the part of the kli that got heated up requires mrika and shtifa. To which Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yehuda says, I have a brisa that knocks that out. Exactly what his original point was, as Rashi says, "Halo ashkechon masni." He doesn't have a brisa to knock it out. Excuse me. He says you don't have a brisa to support it. "Halo ashkechon masni." Says the koy kavasach. There is no brisa supporting what you're saying. That amrit the tivshok kimasnisa. You're telling me that what you're going to say is going to be like a brisa. Where do you have any source that supports it? Amale mistabris is a logical ki beged that it should be treated like the beged. Why? Ma beged ain't a tone, kibus ala makom adam. The beged, you only wash out the place of the dam, is af kli ain't a tone, riko shtifa ala makom bishul. So too, the kli should only have to have its equivalent of washing out the blood is riko and shtifa. That's also only the place. So he just reiterates his svara. Amar le mi dami, but now we get the challenge. Now we find out why he wants a brisa. Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yehuda says, "Mi dami, how could you compare the two? Dam lo mefateya." He says, first of all, the blood doesn't spread through the garment, whereas the carbon that's cooked in it is spreading through the walls of the kli. That's bishul mefateya. That which is cooked in the kli is going to spread. The od. And second, he says, "Tanya, I have a brisa that says chomer bahaza mriko shtifa v'chomer mriko shtifa mi bahaza." There are aspects of dam getting on a beged that are stricter than cooking something in a kli requiring mriko shtifa, and vice versa. Omer Bahaza, we're stricter regarding dam and a beged. Shaza yeshna bechataos hachitzonios ubechataos hapimios. First of all, dam getting on the beged applies whether it's dam from an inner chatos that doesn't get eaten or dam from an external chatos that does get eaten. It applies to both. Vayeshna lifnei zrika. Further, it applies before zrika's hadam, as we said the other day. The Rashi mentions it to you here as well. the line of Yeshua Lifnei, what's that? Bedam Chata Shnitas Ala Beged, sorry. He says, Chor Baza, Bedam Chata Shnitas Ala Beged, Bimrika Ushtifa, Ein of Apimios. He says, Rika and Shtifa doesn't apply by the internal Chatas, Ve'ein of Lifnei Zrika and isn't before Zrika. Shena Kasim Medaber, Ela Bnei Echolos. The Pasuk only deals with the Chatas that is eaten, the Samech Lei, calls a Chorba Kohenim Yochalosa. The Kohanim will eat that carbon. That's in the same section regarding carrying this out. So number one, he says, Hazaa is going to apply by Chatos, Hachitzonios, and Pimios, whether they're eaten or whether they're burned. Number two, Hazaa applies before Zrika, meaning if it falls on the Beged, without any Zrika having happened yet. It won't require Mrika and Shtifa for a Kli that holds the Damchatos. It only applies to the Beged on which the Damchatos falls. Masha'in came Mrika Shtifa in the Gemara. Chomer b'mrika u'shtifa. On the other hand, rika and shtifa are stricter. Shamrika u'shtifa noeges bein b'kachim kachim bein b'kachim kalim. Because your point about dam is only by the chatas. Rika and shtifa is any carbon that got cooked in there, whether kachim kachim or kachim kalim. We're taking that view with the machlokas tanakama Rabbi Shimon. Bisha b'makes us akli ton rika u'shtifa kol akli. And further, it's stricter because rika and shtifa is for the entire kli. Even if the cooking only occurred in part, Masha Inkin Baza as opposed to Azah. So it's black on white. I have a brisa against Rami Bar Chama. So Amar Lei Itanya Tanya. So Rami Bar Chama says, I give up. You have a brisa? You have a brisa. What am I going to do? But frankly, I'm a little annoyed that you asked me this question when you knew you had a brisa. But they didn't say that in the Gemara. You just sort of wonder. The time of Mai, and what's the reasoning? Omar Kruk, because the Pasuk says, V'im Bichli Nechoshes Bushala. The emphasis is on the bays in Bichli. If it was cooked in a Kli Nechoshes, V'afil B'meitzes Kli, even in part of a Kli, the rule is in Morak Feshutaf B'mayim, as the Pasuk concludes, you have to wash out the entire thing. So that's his response, and that's his answer. We require it for the entire kli. Tosus challenges this. Tosus talks about the question that we're not really dealing with bishul when we deal with rika and shtifa. That you talk about bishul spreading through the entire kli. Rika and shtifa is not a kashering process, as we've discussed. Afal pichein, the Rabbi Bar Chama gives in. So that second piece of the Gemara, the upshot of it is, the entire kli requires Mriko and Shtifa, even if only part of it was heated. The Gemara now brings us the machlokes regarding which kachim require Mriko and Shtifa, as we discussed a little bit in the Mishnah. Echad kachim, kachim. The second wide line, Tana Rabbanan, Brisa says, Chatas, the Torah uses the word Chatas, Ein li ela Chatas, that only tells me about the Chatas. Kol Kachim Minayin, how do I know that it's true for any Kachim we require Mriko Shtifa? Talmud Lomar, Kodesh Kodeshim Hi. The Pasuk says, Kodesh Kodeshim Hi. Well, that explains why I expand it to all Kachim, no? No, not at all, it doesn't. Right now, I don't understand this Pasuk. The Gemara is going to need to explain it further. Yochol Shni Marbes HaTruma, the Brisa continues. I might think to include a Truma as well. Tamalomar Osa. The Pasuk says Osa, it, Prat LaTruma. We brought the Pasuk the other day on the sheet. I didn't bring it again on the sheet, but if you have the Zvachim 92 sheet, you see the Pasuk. But Osa, it, this requires that you do Mriko Shtifa, Prat LaTruma. As opposed to Truma, Diva Rabbi Yehuda, that's Rabbi Yehuda's approach. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kachay Kachim Tunim Riko Shtifa. Rabbi Shimon says, no, Kachay Kachim require Riko Shtifa. Kachim Kalim Ainan Tunim Riko Shtifa. Not Kachim Kalim, Dixiv Kodesh Kadashim. He says, can't you read? The Pasuk says, Kodesh Kadashim, Kachay Kachim in Kachim Kalim Lo. Right? It's a good argument, no? My time at Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara asks. That was the end of the Brisa. So the Gemara asks, what was Rabbi Yehuda's explanation then? What was his approach? Midi Itstrich Osa, Lama Ute Truma, Michlal de Kachim Kalim Tunim Riko Shtifa. Since Osa excludes Truma, that must mean that Kachim Kalim are included. Tosfos explains that what he's doing here is Miut Achar Miut. In other words, the Pasuk says Osa, that's one Miut, and the Pasuk says Kodesh Kadashim, that's another Miut, only these and not others. And therefore, that teaches me the rule is Miut Achar Miut is Larabos. You're expanding beyond Kachim, Kachay Kachim to include Kachim Kalim. Whereas, the opposing point of view, presumably, Rabbi Shimon will say, Kachay Kachim is actually an expansion. It's expanding beyond Chatas. It's not a Miut. But that may be Rabbi Shimon's answer. Rabbi Shimon Amar Lach, as is worded here, Rabbi Shimon says, Osa kedi amrinon. Is that what Osa is for? Osa is for what we've already said when we discussed it back in the Mishnah. I use Osa to teach me an entirely different lesson, to teach me Ksheira v'lo Psula, that it's only by a chatas that has Shasa kosher. So the Gemara asks, Utruma lo baya shtifa mrika, shetem riku shtifa. Truma doesn't require mrika and shtifa. If I wash a kli, if I cook truma in a kli, I don't require mrika shtifa. Vatanya, don't I have a brisa that says, kedera shabisha babasa lo yavasha bachalav. Meat kalim cannot be used to cook milk. Then bishal, and if I did, but no saying a tam, then if there's enough to introduce a taste, it's going to trafe up whatever I cook. Utruma lo yavasha bachulin, and if I cooked truma in a kli, I can't cook chulin in there, but no same time. And if I did, then again, it'll contaminate the mixture, but no same time, if it can communicate taste. So if truma doesn't require mrika and shtifa, why does it require kashering? So the Gemara is going to give me three answers. Amar Abaye. Abaye gives me answer number one. Lo tzricha ella de amar mar bishul b'mikdash kli tan riko shtifa kol akli. He says we learned that if you cook in part of the kli, you have to do mrika and shtifa for the entire kli, the extension from part to whole. He says that would be my mrika and shtifa. You have to do the whole thing. Kashering is only for the part that was actually exposed to the food, to the cooking. Truma lo tzarech ella makom bishul. The truma only requires kashering for the part that was exposed to the food. So Abaye says, kashering is only for the part exposed to the food. Mrika and shtifa is the whole thing. We don't require mrika and shtifa by truma. That's Abaye's answer. Rava amar lo tzricha elo de amar mar b'mayim v'lo b'yayim b'mayim v'lo b'mazuk. Rava says, the reason is because kashering is with any liquid at all. You don't have to use water when you do hagalah. Whereas mrika and shtifa is only water. It's b'mayim, not wine. B'mayim v'lo b'mazuk, not with diluted wine. Ha, whereas when it comes to kashering, afilu b'yayim, you can kosher with wine. Have fun. Rabba Bar Ula gives me my third answer. Rabba Bar Ula Amar Lo Tzricha Ella De Amar Mar Rika Ushtifa Bitsonein. He says we learned that Rika and Shtifa is done with cold water. Rashi thinks that means after the Hagala, but I want to come back to that in a moment. Ha Afilu Bechamin. Whereas koshering is specifically with hot. The Rika and Shtifa is with cold. Or with cold after hot. So the Gemara says, "Ha nichal amadama riko shtifa betzonin." That's fine if you say riko shtifa involves cold water. El amadama riko bechamin shtifa betzonin ma'ikal ameimar. But what if you believe that riko is hot water and shtifa is cold water? Then ma'ikal ameimar. To which answer, shtifa yeterka. You still have that extra dousing with cold water that you're going to do after you've done the hagala. So the idea is there's still a difference between riko and shtifa and kashering. Tosfos here jumps on this because there was a practice in Tosfos' time, and it's recorded in Shulchan Aruch actually, that after you do Hagala on a kli, you wash it with cold water. So Tosfos says, what do you mean? It says here, that's a function of Riku and Shtifa, that's not a function of Hagala. So Tosfos says, we see from here that sonin after Hagala, pouring cold water on it after Hagala, is not necessary, even though people do it. Tosfos in Avodah Zarah, Dapayin Vava Medalev, Tosfos Mikan, also challenges it. He says, I don't understand why you would need it at all. Unless you take the view, maybe, that Rika and Shtifa are both cold water washes, and what we're saying here is, you don't need both for Truma, you only need one. But the Taras HaKodesh offers a justification if your cold water wash is done before Hagalah. The idea is to clean the surface of all materials. And that's the idea. And you do it for Truma, you do it for everything. The Torah mentioned that I should do a cold water wash as Mrika before I do Hagalah, and Shtifa after I do Hagalah. And the exclusion vis-a-vis Truma was only you don't have to do the post-Hagalah Shtifa. So the cold water wash would be before. The problem with this answer of the Taras HaKodesh is if you look in the Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Chaim, Tufnun Beis, where he gives you the laws of Hagalah regarding kashering for Pesach, he says we rinse with cold water after Hagalah, not before Hagalah. So what is he doing? So the Mishnah Berurah there says it's a completely different reason. You pour hot water on a kli to do Hagalah, right? That's what you're doing. So the hot water you immerse it in, depending on what kind of Hagalah you're doing. Ideally, we usually do it by immersion. So you immerse it in for Hagalah. Now there's hot water sitting on the surface. That hot water absorbed whatever was extruded from the kli. It can get reabsorbed by the kli. The purpose of the cold water wash, according to the Mishnah Berurah, is to remove the hot water from the surface, lest it reabsorb. It has nothing to do with Mrika and Shtifa then. It's a completely separate requirement. Okay. Upshot of this is that when it comes to Kachim versus Kachim Kalim, we have a machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, as to whether Kachim Kalim will require Mrika and Shtifa, and it spills over into this Hagala discussion. New Mishnah. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Bishal Mitchilas HaRegel, Yivasha Bo Kol HaRegel. He says the kli you use to cook karbanos in the beginning of Yom Tov can be used all the days of Yom Tov, as we'll see in the Gemara, because each day that which was absorbed is extruded and absorbed anew. So it's a new absorption, it's a new blia. V'chachamim omrim ad zman achila, or kol zman achila. V'chachamim say no. Oh, you can only clean it out for the duration of the time when you could have eaten the original carbon that was cooked within it, and that's it. You can't go any further with it. Mrika ushtifa, mrika kemrika sakos, ushtifa kishtifa sakos. Mrika and shtifa, you want to know what they are? They are internal. The way you would fill a cup to rinse it out, that's what you do here. That's your mrika process is internal, and your shtifa process on the other end is external, washing the outside. If you remember the Gemara Brachos, Rashi cites it here. It says that when you have a kosher bracha, you're supposed to wash it inside and out. That's the idea. This is mrika and shtifa. Further, as we've already said, mrika shtifa bitzonei. They're both with cold water. The note in the margin says maybe it should be mrika with hot water and shtifa with cold water, per the discussion that we had before. And then hashfud ve'haaskala tapetzadi zayin magilan bechamin. The spits that you use to support the karban, magilan bechamen, you do hagalah in hot water. The Gemara of Avodah Zarah asks why we don't require libun, right? Since it was exposed directly to the flame, and it gives a whole host of answers over there. But lemaisa, the Rambam and Hilchos Maisa Karbanos rules that only hagalah is necessary and not libun for these spits. Even though when it comes, that's unique to karbanos. When it comes to kashering, if you have a spit, we 100% require libun. It's a unique law regarding this carbon case, and we'll pick up with that, God willing, tomorrow.